The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, Mrs. Cavanaugh. Mrs. Cavanaugh does a great job. Matter of fact, there are three buses today that are having a Thanksgiving dinner. And her, along with several of the bus captains involved there, and many workers that work on those three bus routes, will be gathering after church, those that rode those buses, that is, and to be able to enjoy a Thanksgiving dinner, a big sacrifice on their part. And now it's only for those three buses. Please don't walk over and say free food, because they've only prepared for their riders. But they have worked very hard. And being able to supply food and being able to feed those today, a wonderful Thanksgiving meal. And many of those, this will be the only Thanksgiving meal that they get. And so they're going to be doing that together over there. And they were up here till late last night, getting all that set up and all the tables set up and all the cooking finished. And I appreciate those that labor in that capacity. Take your Bible, go back if you will, look at the book of Acts chapter 20. I want you to look at verse 28. Together as we look at this. The Bible says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now watch what it says, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And so the Bible teaches here about the significance, I believe, and the importance of the local church. And I want to preach this morning about the importance of the local church in your life. You know, God, the Bible talks about how he, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has shed his blood to pay the debt that we owe as sinners and to purchase that which is the church. Now, what is the church? The church is a gathering of born-again, baptized believers, I believe, that's come together with the intent of getting out the gospel around the world. And so together, the church is not necessarily the building, though the church is the people that are sitting in the building. And God talks how the people of God ought to gather themselves together. Matter of fact, you'll see in the scriptures in just a little bit where the Bible teaches that we're not supposed to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. So God's people need to be able to come together. They need to be able to come together to be able to grow and to be able to get strengthened and to be able to be helped. I believe that every person needs to be planted in a local church. Now, I'm not talking about a special occasional plant. I'm not talking about an artificial plant. I'm not talking about a potted plant. I'm talking about a planted plant. Not something that you move around, not something that is occasional, not something that's artificial. But you ought to find a local, independent Baptist church and plant yourself in that local independent Baptist church. Now, there are several things that's happening. You'll see in Scripture, and I believe the Scripture is being fulfilled even right now as we speak. I believe that it's prophesied that in the last days, there's going to be a falling away. I believe that in the last days, you'll see that people have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There are those that profess to be believers, but yet they have little or no conviction at all. They desire no holiness in their life at all. And they have the form of godliness, but there is no power therein, perhaps because many of them have never truly been converted, truly been saved. It's amazing, as I used to travel in evangelism, and it's even more amazing today, that Sunday morning churches are fairly full. Sunday night church is just partially full. And Wednesday night church, many people are even closing the doors, because there's not many people at all. Now, I can thank God that 75% of the people that's here this morning come back tonight. Amen. I can thank God for that. Amen. I can thank God that we're running good numbers Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now, all that is an attribute, if you would please, that I'm seeing in your life because of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And for the Bible. A person, many times somebody said, will come on Sunday morning because they like the personality of the preacher. They'll come on Sunday night because they like the personality of others. But they come on Wednesday night because they like the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can I tell you that it's important that in these last days that you and I become faithful to the only institution that Jesus Christ established during his earthly ministry. Now, what is that institution? That institution is called the local church. It's amazing how many times that in the Bible it's mentioned, the phrase, the house of the Lord, is mentioned 213 times. The phrase, the house of God, is mentioned 87 times. That is 300 references that is given to that which is the house of the Lord or the house of God. 300 times. I would believe that the Holy Ghost puts something in the Bible that is very important. But if something is emphasized 300 times, I would say it's probably very important. That's not including the temple mentioning. That's not including the tabernacle mentioning. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 13, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer." And so this is a place where we can come together and we can pray about the needs that each other has in each other's lives. This is a place where people can come and they're brokenhearted, and yet they know that somebody is going to be walking beside them as they walk down the church hallway that's going to pray for them and try to be there to help them. Let me give you some things about the local church. Number one, the emphasis of the house of God. This is a place where a people can receive a rallying, if you would please, when they're down. You can come to church and hear that which is godly music. I said godly music. And when you hear godly music and you hear godly preaching that follows that godly music, it will help you to rally when you're down. This is a place of relying on God when all of a sudden things in your life are devastated. This is a place of renewing when all of a sudden you are defiled. This is a place of revival when you feel defeated. So God places a lot of emphasis on that which is the local church. God, if you will please, emphasizes the importance of the house of God. Now why is that? Well, over in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Bible says forsaking, it says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but it says exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he said, as we see the day approaching where the rapture is about to take place, he said, here's what we ought to do. We ought to exhort one another to be able to be faithful and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, what is that? That is called the local church. And so God says, as we see the day approaching, when we all of a sudden begin to feel the tremors of that which is the tribulation to come, which, by the way, is preceded by the rapture, when all of a sudden we begin to be able to see that nations are becoming anti-Christ, can I tell you for sure that that is certainly pointing to the time of his coming. It's pointing to the time of the rapture. He says, now, he said, as you see these days approaching, he said, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's something about just coming to church that pleases God. Something about just coming to church that makes God happy. Something about just coming to church that helps you to be able to get the strength that you need and to be able to get the prayers answered that you need and to be able to be able to go forward to accomplish the very things of God. Statement number one, the local church underneath that is divinely set there, and we're not supposed to forsake it. Also, you'll see that it's an institution of truth. Here's what the Bible says about the local church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, but if, he says, I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And so the church is the institution whereby you can receive that truth. It is the pillar and the ground of truth. So when we come to church, you can hear the truth of the living God. Can I tell you, I've said in church services where one sermon will change somebody's life forever. I've said in church services when all of a sudden a man or a boy, if you would please, or a lady, a woman, if you would please, or a little girl will come forward and they'll bow their heart and they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and God saves them and they heard just one truth. I've seen marriages be restored because of one truth. I've seen rebellious young people all of a sudden turn their lives around because of one truth. I've seen people straighten up their financial world and put God first and start doing right by God financially, and God begin to bless them simply because of one truth. Can I tell you that one truth could change your life forever? And Paul is telling young Timothy here, he said, and if I tarry long, he said, that thou mayest, he said, know how thou ought to behave in the house of God, and the church, if you would, it says, of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So God says that you can come to church and you can learn the truth. Now, doesn't the Bible say that ye shall know the truth and the truth shall set or make you free? Isn't that what the Bible says? So as you come to church and you learn the truth, as you come to church and you're introduced to He who is all truth, who is Jesus Christ, there's a way to be able to overcome sin. There's a way to be able to overcome problems. There's a way to be able to go forward. There's a way to be able to stand up straight. There's a way to be able to encourage your heart. And all that is about the Word of God that is being preached in the local church. Now, wait a minute, watch this. The local church is the primary place for fellowship for God's people. Here's what our Bible says. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, this is not talking about the Lord's Supper. Every time you read about the Lord's Supper in your Bible, the cup will always be mentioned. Here, the cup is not mentioned. This is talking about old-fashioned Baptist fellowship. This is talking about when they came together and they broke bread. We're going to have a cupcake reception for Brother and Mrs. Nash. And as they get ready, I kid them all the time. I said, as they get ready to depart into outer darkness. But we're going to take and we're going to have a cupcake fellowship for them. Now, wait, you know what that is? That's going to be coming together and practicing what this verse says right here. Are coming together, and there's the breaking of bread, and there's fellowship, and there will be good old-fashioned preaching that night, and good sound doctrine that night, and that is what the church is coming together to do. So there's no better place to fellowship than in church. Why? Nobody's going to curse you out. Well, at least I hope so. Nobody's going to be mean to you. At least I hope they won't. Now, can I tell you that church is a good place to fellowship? You can go up to somebody, you talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, and they'll say, yes, I agree. You know why? Because you're on the same page, heading the same direction. Christians ought to fellowship with Christians, and we ought to come together and enjoy each other's time together. And church ought not to be something we come and say, well, I'm there because I have to be there. No, you ought to come to church because you enjoy church. You're excited about church. You're excited about hearing the preaching of the Word of God. It is that preaching of that Word of God that will change your life forever. Can I say, listen to me this morning, I'm saying that the importance of the church, God emphasizes the importance of the church. He emphasizes not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He emphasizes that this is the place where the truth is preached. He emphasizes that this is a place of fellowship. Now, remember that. He emphasizes this is a place of observing, if you would please, the two ordinances of the local church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 was written to a local church. Somebody says, well, I believe we ought to just stay home and we can have church in our home. No, I'm afraid not. Because the Bible teaches right here in this particular verse that you'd have a hard time doing that and observing this one ordinance that God is talking about. The Bible says, and when ye come, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. And also I'll read verse 26. It says, and when you come together, it says, therefore, into one place. Now, notice what is happening in this one place. And by the way, 1 Corinthians was written to who? It was written to a local church congregation. That's who it was written to. It was not written to a family that decides to stay home and read the Bible. It was written to a local church gathering. He says, and when you come together, he says, therefore, into one place. So he's saying to these people that attend that church, they're supposed to come together into one place. The Bible says in verse 26, it says, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show, it says, the Lord's death till he come. Now, this is the practicing of one of the two ordinances that are given to the local church. The first ordinance that you'll read about in your scriptures that's given to the local church is that which is baptism. All right, so now wait a minute. Somebody says, well, I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to have church at my house. Let me ask you, how many people are you baptizing in your house? Well, I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to have church in my house. Let me ask you something. How often are you practicing observing the Lord's Supper inside of your house? No. This is written to a local church of believers that are coming together. And they're coming together in this particular citing of Scripture. They're coming together to practice one of the two ordinances given to the local church, which is the Lord's Supper. So the Lord's Supper is given to the institution, if you want to call it that, of the local church. It's given to those born-again, baptized believers. By the way, listen to me. Don't forsake the local church. You be faithful. Every time the doors are open, if you're physically able, why? Jesus died for the church. Why? Jesus established the church. Why? He's the only institution that God himself, through his Son, Jesus Christ, ever established in his earthly lifetime is the church. Wait a minute. Here's what we also see. The local church is the institution that God gave these particular gifts to. Now listen to the gifts that God gives. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some, it says, pastors and teachers. Now, by the way, he's writing this to the local church. So he gives the office of that, which is these offices mentioned right here in the Scripture, and we're familiar in our day and time with several of these. We are familiar with evangelists. We are familiar with pastors and teachers. Now watch this. And so a pastor is given as a gift to the local church for the help to instruct those that are believers that come together. An evangelist is given as a gift. When I was an evangelist for 12 years, I traveled as a local church evangelist. I went around, and my job was to be a gift. Now, think about this. I wasn't supposed to be a nasty gift. When you receive a gift, you want a gift to be pleasurable. You want a gift to be complimentary. You want a gift to be wholesome. You want a gift to be a help, not a hurt. And you like to have a gift that is going to bring favoritism in one area or another in your life. And so when we traveled as evangelism, when I went to a church, I would tell these dear pastors, I would say, we're here for you. We're here to serve you this week. Anything you want us to do. You want us to scrub toilets? We'll scrub toilets. You want us to mow the lawn? We'll mow the lawn. You want us to clean out Sunday school classrooms or paint Sunday school classrooms? We'll clean and paint Sunday school classrooms. You want me to help with counseling some of your people? I'll do that with your permission. You need Sunday school lessons, I'll give you Sunday school lessons. You need sermons to preach, I tell preachers, I'll give you sermons to preach. You need me to write your fall or your spring campaign, I'll sit down and I'll write your fall or your spring campaign for you. You need help in understanding a certain doctrine, I'll be there. I went as a help. I didn't go to be over the pastor. I went in there as a help. And God said that the office of the pastor, the office of the teacher, the office of the evangelist was given for the local church. Wait a minute. Here's what we also see. That we receive feeding through that which is the local church. Feeding. Listen to it. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says, it says, take heed. Therefore, unto yourselves, and it says to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, and feed the church of God. All right, so there's feeding. There's feeding. I don't know about you, but I'd rather go to a place that God approves for feeding than for a place that God does not approve as feeding. Then it's a place to exercise your fear, your financial stewardship. In our church, with all that we do, with running the buses, all that we do, and operation of the ministries that we have here, it takes $14,000 a week just to keep the wheel turning. Just to keep the wheel turning. All right, now wait a minute. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 10, The Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says now, says concerning the collection of the saints, they're going to church, collection of the saints, they're going to church, and there's going to be a collection that's taking place while they're at church. It's written to a local New Testament church. The Bible says now concerning the collection of the saints, they're getting ready to take up a collection. The Bible says, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so ye, upon the first day of the week, that every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there should be no gatherings when I come. All right? And so there's the collection of saints. So God emphasizes the church. Now let me show you something else, and I'm going to hasten it as we go. But God emphasizes that which is what should be done in the local church. By the way, we were in evangelism one year, and a lady sent to me her tithing envelope. And she said, God impressed my heart to send you this money. And I wrote her a nice letter back. And basically I said, no, God did not impress your heart, because we don't receive the tithe as an evangelist. Amen. This goes to your local church. You know, you don't send your tithe into a radio evangelist. You don't send your you don't pick out a ministry and say, well, I think I'll give X amount to this ministry. And no, if a ministry is not under the local church, it's not a right type of ministry. Amen. Now that is Bible teaching. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. And so there's the emphasis of God's house, statement number one. Statement number two, there's the excitement of God's house. God's house should be an exciting place. The Bible says in Psalm 122 and in verse 1, the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up, it says, to the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said, hey, let's go. Where are you going? Hey, we're going to go up to the house of the Lord. They were excited about going to church. By the way, you listen to me. Not too long ago in America, people were excited about going to church. Hey, get it back. Amen. Get it back. You don't have to flush it down the commode. You don't have to walk away from it. You can get it back. You get excited about ball games. You get excited about doing things and going to races and stuff like that. Can I tell you, it's about time that God's people simply get it back about being excited to go to church. Hey, church is an exciting place to be. Statement number one, there's the emphasis of God's house. Statement number two, there is the excitement of God's house. Statement number three, there's the encouragement of God's house. There's no better place to be encouraged than in church. I mean, come on. Where else do you call somebody brother? Well, okay, maybe in the hood, but where else do you call somebody brother? But where else do you call somebody sister? I mean, where else can you have such a commonality with people? You know, to be able to walk down a hallway and say, hey, brother, I've not seen you in a while. I sure do miss you. Sure do love you. There's nothing wrong with that. Walk down a hallway and you see somebody that's hurting to say, hey, look, just want to let you know I've been praying for you. I sure do love you. Man, I'm rooting for you. I'm pulling for you. That's a part of just being who we're supposed to be at church. There's an encouragement. You don't have to fight your battles by yourself. Life is hard enough than for you to take on it all by yourself. You have the Holy Ghost of God. He's your paraclete. He's your comforter. He's your encourager. But brothers and sisters are there for you too. They really are. There's something about walking beside someone, being close to someone, encouraging someone, helping someone. That's what a church family is all about. I hope our church never loses the spirit of loving and caring for somebody else. Here's what it says in Psalm 27. David's speaking this in verse 4. The Bible says, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after. So he said, first off, I desire it. Now, by the way, you can desire something and not seek after it. David said, here's what he said. He said, one thing that I've desired. You know, boy, I tell you, last night I was leaving my office about 9 o'clock, and I was driving home. I hadn't had supper yet, and I desired to stop and eat. I called my wife. I said, honey, I said, how's Rebecca doing? And she's telling me how Becca was doing. And I said, have you all had supper? And she said, well, we've already eaten a little bit. I said, do you mind if maybe I just kind of stop along the way? And she said, oh, no, not at all. So I heard the big M calling me. You know that M at McDonald's stands for missionary. So I drove out to Forney where we lived, and I knew exactly where that McDonald's was.
Amen.
So I drove through McDonald's, and Brother Craig called me and interrupted my meal. We talked for a little bit, and he said, preacher, what are you going to do? I said, well, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I've just gone through McDonald's. I'm sitting here. I've got this hamburger open. It is staring at me. And I hear the voice saying, eat me. So as soon as you hang up, as soon as we finish our dialogue, I am going to consume the hamburger. I couldn't wait anymore.
Amen. That's right.
I was going to go home and just consume it with my wife. No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't wait anymore. I was hungry. By the way, when a man gets hungry, he's hungry. And boy, I was looking at that hamburger, and man, the aroma was filling my truck.
Yeah.
It's like, woo. And so he said, well, we can talk about this later. I don't know what he said. I wasn't paying attention to half what he said. I don't know. And so he hung up, and I was saying, thank you, Lord. There is a God in heaven. And boy, he hung up, and man, I launched into that hamburger. Woo! And I had those fries that taste like cardboard with salt. You know what I'm talking about. You've eaten there. And man, I'm chewing those things. My stomach's saying, no, not me. And I'm saying this. Here's what David said. Listen to what he said. He said, one thing, he said, I have desired of the Lord. We're in Psalm 27, verse 4. He said will I seek after? He said, not only desire it, I seek after it. He said that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. He said, one thing I've desired. But see, it's something to desire it. There's something else to go after it. It's one thing to have a desire. Many years ago, I decided I want to be a soul winner. But I decided that that's what I wanted to be. Now, here's what I did. I broke every hedge I could break, and I pushed my way through, and I became a soul winner. But I just did not desire it. I pursued it.
Amen.
I went after it. Listen to it. Psalm 55, and in verse 14, the Bible says, we took sweet counsel together and walked onto the house of God in company. So it said, we took sweet counsel together, and we walked onto the house of God in company. See, there's something about, come on, we average, I would dare say probably about 100, and I'd say about 180 soul winners that go out every week, out soul winning with the different soul winning teams and whatnot. Now, watch this. Did you know when we come together in company, it's a whole lot better than feeling like you're going out all by yourself.
Amen.
Most people that feel like they got to go out all by themselves, watch this if you will, they never go. You know why? They're not in company. They're not in company. You ever get in a huge line of cars, maybe going to a funeral service or maybe going to a preaching conference or something like that, and you're in company. You ever ride on a bus? And I know just recently, Dr. Jeff Owens was going to be preaching over at the Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington, and we love Brother Owens, and we support Brother Owens, by the way, as far as loving him and caring for him and praying for him as he's there, a new pastor now in North Carolina. And so we gathered on a bus and drove over to the Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington. Now wait a minute. Did you know that night, Parkside Baptist Church was the largest delegation of outsiders that attended on that particular night, and we were in great company. When our teenagers grabbed soul winning, how many did you have Thursday night teen soul winning? How many did you have teenagers? How many? 50 teenagers got on a bus Thursday night and went out soul winning. Now, wait a minute, what were they? They were in great company. There's something about being in company that just makes you feel like, oh, come on, you ever do this? You make a right decision, but you doubt it? You ever do that? But there's something about, how many do we have on the couples retreat this year? 30 couples. 30 how many?
Couples.
29 couples. Thank you. 29 couples that went on the couples retreat. Okay, 29 couples. That means two. 29 times two. Okay? And so here you've got all, and he rented out a boat that was one of these, I don't know what you call it, but it was a flat boat, and you could go upstairs and be blown off, or you could stay downstairs where you're safe. And did you know? And so 29 couples went out on a couples retreat, and we had great company. We have a staff meeting on Tuesday. Every Tuesday we have a staff meeting. And I call the pastoral staff in, and these guys that assist me in the work here and that serve you and do such a good job at it. We meet from 2 o'clock many times to 5 o'clock on Tuesdays. And by the way, when we're in there, we are in great company. You know, the ushers, when they have their ushers meeting, great company. The nursery workers, when they have their nursery meeting, a great company. Those that have activities for the singles or the college and career, a great company. Lone Star Baptist College, great company. The highest attendance we've ever had in our academy is this year, great company. Now, can I tell you, here's what the Bible is talking about, how they went onto the house of God and they were in company. In other words, they were heading the same direction. They were they were coherent of each other, and they were going the same direction, same purpose and same drive. It was a company, a willful effort to accomplish. I mean, they were heading that direction. And by the way, a church can be that type of encouragement to you. Oh, wait a minute, watch this, and I'm done. The enrichment of God's house. I said the emphasis of God's house, the excitement of God's house, the encouragement of God's house, the enrichment of God's house. I'll give you one verse, and I'm done. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. The Bible says, and when he was come into his own country. Now, here Jesus is. He's coming to his own country. I want you to notice the very first thing he does. When he comes into his own country, very first thing he does. Here's what he says. The Bible says, and when he was coming to his own country, he says, he taught them in their synagogue. So here he is. The first thing he does, he's heading to the synagogue to teach them in the synagogue. Now, the Bible teaches that, listen, as he taught them insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? They were astonished. You know, when you come to the church, boy, it ought to be first thing you consider during the week. Ought to be the first thing that you consider in your life and make it a priority. But when you come to the church, here's what you find out. You're going to learn some astonishing things. It's going to make you wiser. You'll be able to be wiser when you go down to the workhouse. You'll be able to be wiser as you go to school. You'll be able to be wiser as you're making decisions in your household. You'll be able to be wiser as you're leading your children. You'll be able to be wiser in your financial. Look, if somebody came to you today, dear friend, here it is and I'm done. If somebody came to you today and here's what they said, I want to give you a box. And inside this box is the world's wisdom that God himself has given. Oh, maybe we shouldn't say the world's wisdom. It's God's wisdom for everything you ever do in the world inside of this box. God's wisdom. God's wisdom. God's wisdom. For everything you ever do in this world, here it is right here. Would you take it? Well, I think you would. In this place right here is God's wisdom for everything you'll need to do in this world. Now here's what I ask you to do. Take it. Be faithful to it. Be steady in it. Get as much as you can. I'll go back to my hamburger story because I liked it. I ate the hamburger. Can I tell you in a little bit, we're going to dismiss. I'm going to walk over to the bus ministry. I'm going to say, howdy. I'm going to maybe serve a couple of tables and pour up a couple of drinks and love on the kids a little bit that's come from places that you, perhaps yourself, would never choose to live in. And I want them to see the pastor's love. They got a preacher that cares about them. Then I'm going to smile at my wife a little bit. She'll be beside my side. And then we'll take off. We'll go someplace, grab a burger. Well, probably not. She doesn't like burgers. We'll grab a chicken, a dead one. She likes chicken. And so we'll eat together. But when we eat together today at lunch, do we want you to know I'm going to eat again? Matter of fact, if I could, I'd eat all the time. But it's probably not healthy. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that you have something here to take advantage of. You have something right here. You can get all the wisdom you need through the preaching of God's Word right here. Through the teaching of those that teach Sunday school. Oh, you can get it. You can get it. You can get it. It's right here. But you have to decide that you want that for your life.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.